What's up, guys? Just a little bit of Rolling Up by the Crystal Method. I'm Braden Vogel.
I'm Chris Brett.
Good.
Fantasy Football Insights, guys. How you doing?
I mean, we're doing pretty good right now. Just we haven't been very active for a little bit. We talked about Super Bowl. That's where we'll cover mostly. Well, not really mostly. It's going to be some of it. Then we're going to cover the drug program, Mel Kiper's second mock, I guess.
Mel Kiper and Talkman Shit.
Yeah. And then we'll do some questions for you guys, and we'll just go from there. Talk about maybe some free agents if you got time. So let's start with the Super Bowl. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, it was between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. You had the number one overall defense, the number one overall offense. I mean, we expected a lot better of a game, but it just didn't turn out that way.
No, I mean, it happens every single time. That's now, what is it, 4-1. 4-1 for the defense going head-to-head against the number one offense. They've won every single time. So, it's to me, you just look at it, and you can't expect a team like Denver to beat the Seattle Seahawks. They were clearly outmatched. But the coaching mistakes in that game were a killer to me. I mean, it was just a killer. On a 3rd and 15, when you were down 15-0, you're supposed to just run a draw play on 3rd and 15, especially against that defense. You just run a draw play and kick the field goal, go down 15-3. They decided to pass the ball. I don't know if Manning checked to it or whatever, but Adam Gase calls the plays, and Manning might have checked to a pass, but I'm not sure. He passed the ball, interception, touchdown, 22-0, and then they had a 4th and 1, actually, where they could have kicked the field goal, and then they tried to pass it again on a 4th and 1. So they went to halftime with 0 points. Yeah. I don't know what that was all about. That made absolutely zero sense to me.
I think at that point in the game, you need to put points up on the board just to get some kind of momentum going on into the second half. I mean, the Seahawks had an answer for anything that the Broncos had. When you're watching the game, you saw 6 Seahawks making a tackle, and they were just all over the field. You had Earl Thomas, who is, I thought he was, him and Cam Chancellor, along with Malcolm Smith, that's his name, who had the interception return for a touchdown along with 10 tackles.
It's Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, they were just the 3 main guys on that defense. Richard Sherman did a little here and there, but he was mostly banged up during that game. I mean, it was just really disappointing. You just totally saw that the defense is a lot more superior, and I actually picked the Seattle Seahawks to win that game because I feel as if, though, a defense is going to rise more than an offense. Well, I think an offense can collapse easier than a defense can.
Yeah, I was looking at all the stats before the game. I had zero clue how Denver was favored. I had zero clue. Like, people were, like, saying, oh, I'm putting all this money on Denver. Well, I had no idea why, because every stat I read, it seemed to favor Seattle, and it did. To me, when I looked at it, I was like, if you just looked at the stats and didn't watch the game, you could have predicted a blowout just from looking at the stats, but then you're like, it's Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning isn't going to get blown out in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, to the Denver's defense, they actually did a really good job against Marshawn Lynch. That's who they put a lot of their focus on, but they forgot to play pass coverage defense as Russell Wilson threw the ball over the field.
Yeah, you can't do that either. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. John Fox and Jack Del Rio are defensive coaches, and they were not defensively prepared for the game.
No, they weren't. And I mean, a lot of people thought the Broncos were going to win because it was Peyton Manning against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson being only in his second year in the NFL, and he gets shown up. Like, Peyton Manning got shown up, and we've seen this before where Peyton Manning falls in the playoffs, and it's just really sad to see. Like we were saying earlier, you got to kick a field goal and go into halftime to get some type of momentum. But then the second half starts off, and you have Percy Harvin return a kickoff for a touchdown. It's like all life was sucked out of the air when that play happened. The defense didn't care anymore. The Broncos just didn't care anymore. The game was over at that point.
Yeah, and actually, Richard Sherman actually had some interesting comments on what they did to Denver. They actually said that they took stuff out of the game plan, that it was the simplest game plan they've ever had, because all they did was they ran cover 3, cover 1, and what he said, oh yeah, and then press and bail. That's all they ran, and then man to man. So he said that was the easiest game plan they've had all season.
And that's just scary, the number one offense in the NFL being an easy game plan for that defense. And I mean, you just saw just a bunch of short passes that really weren't going to go anywhere. And wherever the ball was, there was the Seahawk there making a play on the ball.
Well, let's move into Denver here. Denver, you're in for a long off season here. Get ready to lose No. Sean Moreno.
And Eric Decker.
And then Decker's going to be walking on you, too, because I don't see you getting a hometown discount on him. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network was reporting that the Denver Broncos want to re-sign Decker, but they want him to test the market and then come back to them. Decker's going to be seeing a lot of number one type money. They think of him as a number two. So they're not going to throw number one money at him. And like the Jets are going to throw number one money at him. I'm not saying he goes to the Jets, but that's a team who's going to throw him multi-million dollars at him. And I don't see him coming back to the Broncos for $10 million every 3 years. No, like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think Decker's going to eventually leave Denver. I mean, there's a point when it comes to only taking so much of a decrease in what you're getting paid. And I mean, what the Broncos are looking to pay Decker for the way he performs isn't going to be as much as Decker feels he deserves as what he could get from another team who's going to view him as a number one receiver.
Yeah, and the next thing, Seattle's got problems too. Looks like Brandon Browner is going to be gone, but he didn't play in the Super Bowl anyways. I mean, Byron Maxwell played fantastic. So
Byron Maxwell.
So you don't even need Browner. But there was talks that actually Browner might end up in Jacksonville next year to reunite with Gus Bradley, which could be an interesting fit there. But next, on to the mock drafts. I got it. Let's just go on to the marijuana thing that we were
doing. That's fine. Recently in the NFL, there's been a lot of discussion over whether or not marijuana should be legalized in the NFL. Antonio Cromartie came out and said that they might as well just make it legal because they're just going to do it anyways. I don't think that's the best thing for him to say, but he's just trying to prove a point. I personally do not think marijuana should be legalized in the NFL. I think you agree with me on that subject.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's illegal, guys. Like, so even if it's legalized in the NFL, you still can't use it because it's illegal.
Yeah.
So you can still be arrested for it and everything. So why would the NFL condone illegal activity? That doesn't make any sense to me. So that just sounds stupid. That is just absolutely stupid. Oh, but I need it for stress relief. Well, or pain relief. Everybody in the entire NFL is in pain. So that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I was listening to Brian Dawkins today, and I agreed with every point he was talking about this subject. The NFL cannot legalize marijuana because it would not be setting a good example for the younger generations. I mean, the NFL stands for a lot more than just a bunch of guys playing football. You have a bunch of younger generations looking up to them. And if you have a bunch of kids looking up to NFL players smoking marijuana, that's all they're going to want to do. And that's just not going to be good for the NFL's vision. And I just don't think you can do it. Just because it's available doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. No matter if it helps you relieve from stress, get pain-free. If that's just it, then freaking sit out a game and stop whining about it and just lay off the weed.
I will say that I guess some of these, the talks that they've been having with it, I guess they have done a really poor job of testing. Ryan Clark was on ESPN First Take today. Mm-hmm. He was talking about just how terrible a job they do. He said they test them before OTAs and before training camp.
And that's why Cromartie said what he said, was that you just might as well legalize it because they're going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
The NFL players should not feel they can just smoke weed and marijuana whenever they want and not get away with it. They need to crack down and make sure that this testing is going on randomly and more often. Because
weekly, honestly.
Exactly. And I mean, because what, like you said with Ryan Clark, he said that the NFL players know when the test is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So they can smoke all the marijuana they want and then get it out of their system before the drug test.
That's just even more sad considering the fact that there are still people who fail it.
Exactly.
So that's Justin Black.
This just doesn't make you look too smart.
All right. So, and that's all we really got to say about it. I don't got anything other to cover on that. It's whatever. The NFL decides to do it. I think it's the dumbest thing alive. And if they don't, then they're smart. But, let's move on.
Yeah, move on to Todd McShay and Mel Kiper's first five picks in the upcoming 2014 draft. You have Mel Kiper, who...
Yeah, we'll start with him.
We can start with him. Number one overall to the Houston Texans, he has Johnny Manziel, compared to Todd McShay, who has Jadeveon Clowney. Obviously, the top two most obvious number one picks in both minds, but you and I both think that Johnny Manziel should go to Houston.
Yes, I do. Johnny, okay, listen. Last year, this was, when was this, six years ago? Maybe 7 years ago. The Houston Texans took a pass rusher over a hometown quarterback. You know who that hometown quarterback was?
No, I didn't know.
Vince Young, and they took Mario Williams. So, I mean, sure, Vince Young isn't great, but Mario Williams wasn't really that great either.
No.
So maybe they take a quarterback this time and try that. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do here. But history says they'll take the pass rusher because that's what they've done before. But Johnny Manziel was not on the same skill level as Vince Young. I mean, Johnny Manziel is out of his mind.
And I feel like the offense needs a little bit more holes filled than what that defense does. The defense is still good. It's just the whole quarterback controversy we saw this past season with Matt Schaub and Case Keenum. We just don't want to see that again. You bring in a guy like Johnny Manziel, and you put players around him such as Andre Johnson. You have DeAndre Hopkins. You also have Arian Foster, and maybe we're not sure who the tight end's going to be this next year, but you're putting a lot of good players around him, and that offense line's pretty good, pretty solid as well.
Yeah, actually, there was a report that said Bill O'Brien messaged Cleveland and was asking them about what they would want for Brian Hoyer. Because, I mean, that's an interesting plug-in option. I mean, then, take Clowney. I don't care. I mean, I understand that.
Put him with J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
You're just looking at trouble.
I mean, that defense, like, okay, if I'm in the AFC South, I don't want any piece of that. I'm not playing that week. So
chalk it up as a loss.
But that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, there are options that they can look at and kind of go from there. But right now, I think Johnny Manziel's got to be the number one pick. Because what happens is, I'm not just talking about Johnny Manziel's talent. I'm talking about his marketability. What he brings to your franchise, the guy could be terrible. Everybody's going to be watching you. Absolutely everybody. Like, even the people who hate him are like, oh, man, Johnny Manziel's terrible. They watch him every Saturday.
Yeah, he's going to be selling merchandise and getting butts in those seats. I mean, that's all that really matters. And, I mean, who knows? He could be amazing. Like, I personally think he's going to have an RG3-like rookie season. Maybe not so much on the rushing side, but I think he's going to be the best quarterback out of this draft.
Yeah, he does not want to run around like RG3. Like, you can tell RG3 wants to run. Johnny doesn't want to run. He wants to win games. The only way he runs is to get receivers open, but he just wants to win games, and he really wants to just sit back there and throw, but sometimes he knows he can't just do that, so he has to run, and that's just kind of where they are right now.
Yeah, and so if it's not Houston, and for some reason they pass up on Manziel, then you and I both believe that the Browns are going to possibly trade up and draft Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
We don't really see the Rams taking them, as they look like they're just going to go ahead and stick with Sam Bradford.
Which I agree with.
Todd McShay and Mel Kiper both have the Rams drafting offensive tackle Greg Robinson, and that's just barring maybe the Rams trade back in the draft like you were talking about earlier. Yeah.
And I think Robinson's awesome. Out of Auburn, I watched him a lot this year. He got a lot of good holes for Trey Mason, and he was able to keep the quarterback upright. He was going against some of the best pass rushers in the SEC. I mean, he got to face Jadeveon Clowney and all that, and I mean, he did fine. Robinson's a good tackle. I really like him. Definitely, because, I mean, they lost Jake Long. They need line. I mean, I don't know how long Jake Long's going to be out with his torn ACL or whatever. I don't know how long it's going to take, if he's even going to be ready for opening. But Greg Robinson's definitely a guy you can add to that line and definitely help out Zach Stacy and Sam Bradford.
Absolutely, and I mean, that's really what they're missing is a good offensive lineman.
Because he's going to have to face people like Alon Smith, and I mean, Alon Smith's a beast. I mean, you got to get somebody to block him.
Especially within that division with the Seahawks and the 49ers and the pass rush that they bring. And I mean, it's just, we're going to go on to our third pick, and Mel Kiper has Jadeveon Clowney going in third to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would definitely be a steal for the Jaguars at that point. I mean, a lot of people think that they could really fix that offense, but I mean, let's be honest, the Jaguars need a lot of answers, but they would. And then Tom McShay has Teddy Bridgewater going third overall to the Jaguars. And I mean, if you look at Todd McShay's top five picks, he has four of the five being quarterbacks. So Todd McShay's pretty quarterback heavy. How do you feel about what Todd McShay says about Teddy Bridgewater possibly being the quarterback for the Jaguars?
I don't like it. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, a lot of people, he's fallen off quite a bit. He was the number one consensus pick. Like, everybody's like, oh, if you don't got Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, I don't know who else you're taking. Well, the thing is Teddy Bridgewater has zero key wins this year. 0. I mean, got outbeat by Blake Bortles, who will come up later here. And, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, he didn't look that great this year. I mean, he doesn't have the star receivers at Louisville, but he did not look that great. And I really like what Kuiper has. I really like Jadeveon Clowney going to Jacksonville. They're going to take the best available player.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So they're not going to reach for a quarterback because they'll settle for Chad Henne. I mean, they're already renegotiating his deal to bring him back. I mean, is Chad Henne good? No. But they're fine with just stacking up talent and just waiting for the right quarterback. Like, heck, get Clowney, finish last place, draft Jameis Winston next year. Why not? I mean, that's just gold. So you don't want to reach for your positions. They're just going to sit back and take best available talent because they need help all over the place.
Absolutely. And Mel Kiper has Teddy Bridgewater going 4th overall to the Browns, which the Browns are just obviously, they're going to have to figure out what they're doing in the quarterback spot next season. Tom McShay has Blake Bortles from UCF going to the Browns at number 4. I personally think Blake Bortles is being really overvalued.
I do too.
And that's just my opinion. He played at UCF, really didn't see much competition, he didn't really go against much talent. I mean, when you look at him, he has a lot of mechanics that are wrong. I mean, he can throw a pretty good deep ball at times, but he usually just focuses more on the short game. Other than that, he tends not to get his feet set at times, and he just looks like a very raw quarterback, and he could use a lot of work, and I don't think he would be worth my 4th overall pick. And going on to the 5th overall pick, you have Mel Kiper, who's taking Sammy Watkins with the Raiders. The Raiders, obviously, are looking to grab Sammy Watkins. I mean, Sammy Watkins is without doubt the most electric player in this draft, most likely. I mean, we saw what he did in the bowl game. And, I mean, and then Tom McShay has Johnny Manziel going number 5 to the Raiders, which is something that I would not want to see at all. Because, really, when you look at who gets drafted by the Raiders, it's usually not good news for them later on. But, I mean, the Raiders are going to have to grab a quarterback eventually. So, I mean, looking at both of these guys' top 5 draft picks, I agree more with Mel Kiper, and I can definitely see these top 5 picks happening. Maybe swapping out Teddy Bridgewater with the Browns, just kind of seeing how that goes. What do you think? What do you think? Who has the better top 5 picks on this draft?
I like Kiper's. I didn't hear. Who was 5 for Mel?
It's
not Mel.
Johnny Manziel to the Raiders for McShay.
I mean, that's too low for me. I think you got to get him up. But, I like what Mel does. I don't know if they're going to take Sammy Watkins 5, if the Raiders are. Maybe they need to. But, I mean, we've seen what the Raiders do. They make terrible draft picks. I mean, DJ Hayden last year. Are we serious right now? He's cornerback who had heart problems, number 12 overall.
Jamarcus Russell over Calvin Johnson.
I mean, they're a disaster. So that's just not really – I don't know what they'll do. It's really hard telling. And, I mean, that rounds that out.
Yep. I mean, and now we're going to move on to another thing that's roaming around in the NFL. The NFL is thinking about getting rid of extra point kicks and kickoffs. Because, I mean, with extra points, you don't even really see them, nor does it make really that big of a deal in a game. When it comes to kickoffs, though, that's a different story in my mind. I don't think you should get rid of either of these parts of the game. If you're going to get rid of anything, get rid of extra points, which then their alternative for that would be either you just get the point with the touchdown, or you go for 2, and then you get 2 more points, which will make it an 8-point. What do you think about these possible rule changes?
I think it's stupid. Because it's going to really affect our fantasy. I mean, I know that's kind of selfish as an NFL fan, but it's going to affect your fantasy football teams because most of the kickers' points come from extra points.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's where the majority of them come from. So, I mean, maybe we have to eliminate the kicker position in fantasy football, or otherwise you're going to have a lot of zero burgers from kickers. I mean, you are. You're going to have a lot. And It's really sad because I know there was multiple times where my kicker only scored 1 point this year. Well, that was because he got an extra point. He doesn't get 1 point for kicking a field goal. So it's definitely going to be tough, or you got to increase the scoring of the field goals. So
I completely agree with that. The thing about extra points, if you get rid of that, you're going to have a bunch of angry kickers looking for jobs. Yeah, I mean, if you just get rid of the extra point, a lot of kickers don't just kick off the ball. I mean, they're going to be looking for jobs. And, I mean, are you really going to unemploy all the kickers in the NFL? And I mean, when it comes to the kickoff in the game can matter so much. It can change the game. whether it's a kickoff return for a touchdown or a turnover. I don't think you can get rid of a kickoff in a game. Like, kickoff is what we live for in football. It's what we are like, oh, are you gonna, we got to catch kickoff. You got to see the beginning of the game. And the kickoff is just, it's a part of football. That's, then you take away.
Plus, it's a tone setter. If a player makes a big hit on the kickoff, I mean, that just sets the tone for their defense for the rest
of the game. Then you just completely get rid of the value of kick returning for players. Devin Hester, he'll have no value.
He's gone.
And I mean, that's really, he could possibly make the NFL, just, or the NFL Hall of Fame, just because of all of his kick returns he's had. Which, I mean, it's looking like that. And if you get rid of the kickoff, then that's just not going to matter anymore. And it's just sad that we're coming to this point that they're just looking based off of entertainment, and people just aren't entertained to see an extra point. It's football, guys. We're lucky to have it. The lockout a couple years ago could have completely gotten rid of football, and I'm not ready for that to happen nowhere anytime soon. So I think we're going to put that to rest and kind of just see how that ends up going. We asked you guys to ask us a few questions on our Facebook page, and Chris is going to read off a couple of them, or I'll just answer them for you guys.
Yeah, okay, let's start out with the first one here. We got, who will be the first pick in fantasy football next year? We got Charles, Shady, AP, Manning, or someone else. Who do you got?
I think a lot of people are going to go with Jamal Charles. I think the clear first two overall picks are going to be Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy.
Yes.
I mean, you can swap them up however you want, just whatever one you're feeling good with. After hearing about Peyton Manning and the Broncos have to play next season, I want nothing to do with Peyton Manning that early in the draft.
No, they get Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, and then at the Bengals. I know they're at Seattle, too. I don't know about the San Francisco game yet. But that's bad. That's not good.
I mean, you're going to lose Decker. I mean, they could stick with Caldwell if they do lose him.
Which I think they're going to have to, because they don't have the money, unless they're going to go draft a late receiver. I know that they really did like that Travaris King guy.
Yeah.
But he's gone now. They got rid of him from the practice squad, and now he's on the Panthers. So I don't know how that whole thing works.
I mean, they could sign a free agent for cheap, and I mean, Peyton Manning can turn any receiver into a solid receiver. But I'm going with Jamal Charles is who is going to be drafted at number one by most people. But I feel LeSean McCoy is going to have a better year next year than Jamal Charles, just because anyone involved in Chip Kelly's offense is going to be fantasy points galore. I mean, you have Jamal Charles, who's coming off a season after seeing so many touches and so many carries.
He still saw less than McCoy, though.
Yeah, he saw less than McCoy, but I just trust McCoy a lot more. That's just me.
Well, Chip Kelly came to town, and he completely changed the dieting process. I mean, I don't know what this has to do with injuries, but Chip Kelly doesn't really have injury running backs. Like, I've looked at back from Oregon, and really nobody ever got hurt under his running back. I mean, we have Thomas, Anthony Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas.
Michael James. And, I mean, those guys were never hurt. Those guys never had a problem under him. So, they said something about, like, the way he trains and the way he diets.
Aaron Blunt there, too.
And the way they take care of it. He said that is a big part of how you kind of manage these injuries. And LeSean McCoy played all 16 games this year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive. Considering, I think that was his first time since, like, his rookie year or something like that he's done that. So LeSean McCoy is my number one, not just because of that. It's just because I look at that division. I mean, the Broncos' defense was actually pretty solid in the run this year. I mean, Jamal Charles gets two nice games against the Raiders, probably going to have five touchdowns in both of them.
Yeah.
Okay. But LeSean McCoy, I mean, gets the Cowboys. Defense is terrible. Giants, defense is terrible. And then Redskins, defense is terrible. So that's...
You can't go wrong with either one, guys. It's just which one hopefully stays healthy for a full season. Mm-hmm. So moving on to the next question, what do you got?
Keeper league question. Do I keep Forte in the second round, Gordon for a 10th round, Stacy for a 17th round, and I can keep two of them. So who do you keep?
I'm keeping Matt Forte and Josh Gordon. I mean, you're losing a second round pick for Matt Forte, which is most likely where he's going to go next year anyways, unless he makes it into some of your guys' first rounds. Forte finally had a fully healthy season, and I mean, he had a great season this year. And you're getting Josh Gordon in the 10th, which, I mean, it's between him and Zach Stacy. I mean, it's just kind of hard. Zach Stacy will be a sophomore next year. We're not sure if he's going to be the guy next year in the Rams. I mean, hopefully he is because I like him a lot, but I can find another running back to go along with Matt Forte in the first round with one of my picks. But I would have no problem with having Josh Gordon and losing a 10th round pick for a guy who's going to go in the second round.
The problem with that is you don't know what other running backs are available in this league. Because, I mean, they don't list that because somebody else is going to keep a running back
too. That's true. I mean, it's a keeper league, but, yeah. I mean, there's got to be someone somewhat decent
out there. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm keeping Matt Forte and Zach Stacy. I'm going off this based off – I don't know where Zach Stacy is. Like, I don't know if he's going to be the starter next year. Like, right now he's probably going to be the starter, but say the Rams sign Chris Johnson with the Jeff Fisher connection, Zach Stacy is going to be the starter, and he does not have the same value. So right now I would go Zach Stacy and Matt Forte because I trust both of them to stay healthy. And then you can always find a receiver like Josh Gordon. I mean, Josh Gordon's a beast, but you can find a guy who's going to bounce up this year. I mean, you can.
I mean, you can take receivers are a lot easier to come by, but I'm
because there's so many more, so much more.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think Zach Stacy deserves to be the starter there in St. Louis. So, Jeff Fisher, you're listening to our podcast. Make Zach Stacy your starter.
Heck, I'd even start him over Chris Johnson. I don't think Chris Johnson's that good.
I honestly would rather have Zach Stacy over Chris Johnson. A lot less attitude
problems. Yeah, but I don't think that's what the Rams would do if they actually brought in Chris Johnson for big money. Because if he goes to the free agent market, he's going to be making some big money.
Oh, yeah. So,
all right, what will the 49ers do with their first pick, or will they move up to get somebody? They're going to need a secondary.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to move up by any means. I mean, the only position I think they must address in the draft is a cornerback. I mean, you have Carlos Rogers, who his time in San Francisco is almost coming to an end. I mean, when you look at the rest of that team, the cornerback in the secondary is really the only issue that you have. I mean, when it comes to the free safety position, that's occupied by Eric Reed, and he had a great rookie season this year. I mean, I just think you need to help build up that secondary when it comes to the cornerbacks. The linebacking core is amazing. All three of them made the Pro Bowl. You have defensive line with Aldon Smith.
I don't know when Navarro Bowman's going to be back, though.
That is true. He got injured in the playoffs.
Yeah, torn ACL, torn MCL. So we'll kind of keep you guys updated on that. But, I mean, he's a guy who can definitely return.
Yeah, I don't think that injury makes you use a first-round pick on a linebacker. No. I think the first-round pick, which is what we were asked, goes on in their secondary.
Yeah, I think that's definitely their key need. If you lose Rodgers, I mean, you got to figure out a way to guard Percy Harvin. I mean, one-on-one coverage, you're going to have to figure out a way to guard him. Because you got to beat Seattle at home. Because you're not going to the Super Bowl unless you beat Seattle at home.
Yeah, and also, the Falcons, I think about it, cut Asante Samuel. Yeah, so maybe Asante Samuel could go to the 49ers possibly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he'll be seeing some action in the free agency market.
Last two we got here. What pick do you think the Bills will take at 9? We say offensive line.
Offensive line.
Jake Matthews. They're going to have to either upgrade a corner or they're going to have to upgrade the offensive line, and I think that corner is too much of a reach at 9.
Jake Matthews is a bang for your buck at number 9.
Yeah, and they need to protect – they need to get C.J. Spiller openings.
Yep.
Get that guy a hole.
Fred Jackson.
Yeah, you got to get that guy a hole. Get that guy a hole, he's gone for 80, so that's all you need.
It's your choice. I mean, 80 or a pick.
So, and then do you think that E.J. Manuel is the answer in Buffalo?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say whether or not a player is the answer after 1 year.
Of an injury.
And it was an injury-prone year. I still like Manuel. I saw things out of him this year that I liked a lot, like he led game-winning drives. He made plays with his legs, and he made downfield throws, whether it was to Robert Woods or just to anyone. I mean, really, I like E.J. Manuel a lot, and I think he is the guy in Buffalo. I don't see any need of making a change quite yet. Give him a couple more years and just kind of see. You used a first-round pick on him. It's not time to just give up on him.
Yeah, I'm not saying you got to give up on him, but I do not think he's going to be a long-term answer for this team. I like him. I like his personality. I like how he controls himself, how he conducts himself in meetings and stuff like that, how hard he works, but didn't really like him coming out of Florida State. I thought he was a reach in the first round, a bad reach in the first round. At least, you know, I think you could have took Geno there, and a lot of people would have been okay with that mistake because a lot of people expected it was Geno. But, I mean, they say if you like somebody, you got to go get them. And E.J. Manuel, to me, 16 was a huge reach, and I bet they're definitely regretting that one today.
And, I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. They're in a tough division. I mean, that you have to go against the Dolphins, who are a pretty solid team. You also go against the Patriots. And, I mean, that's just a pretty difficult division as it is. We'll just be interested to see what EJ Manuel does with hopefully a healthy 2014 season.
Yeah, there was a report that came out. I don't know if you saw it, that Gronk was at Providence, I think. Yeah, Providence. And Providence College, and he was partying in dorm rooms with college kids.
I've heard this story all before. Yeah. Gronk, that must just be Gronk's remedy and just way of getting back to health. Because, I mean, you see that guy, he gets injured and not too much longer, you see him out partying. I mean, that's just Gronkowski for you.
Yeah, but people were wondering, why is he partying with college kids when he could just have a party at his mansion?
I mean, I'm not into his personal life. He can do whatever he wants. He's making more than I am, so I don't really have much to say about that.
Because there was a report out that maybe the Patriots cut him. I mean, you know,
I don't think there's any possible way that they cut Gronkowski.
Well, because we saw this. The Patriots don't like headlines. They do not like to make headlines. If you're a headline guy, Aaron Hernandez, headline, gone.
But Gronkowski isn't making headlines for bad reasons.
No, I know. Well, partying, I mean, he's putting partying, a negative...
He's over 21, yeah, who cares?
He's putting a negative image on the franchise. So
he's not out killing people like Hernandez did.
So there's talks that he could possibly end up getting cut from them. But, I mean, I don't see him doing that. I mean, it wouldn't be logical, but hell... I mean, we've seen Bill Belichick do worse things. Like, that report that Brandon Spikes was injured. Reportedly, he got cut because he missed practice too many times in a row. And Bill just said, you're done, you're not playing in the playoffs. Brandon Spikes would have really helped him in the playoffs. He just said, we don't need you because you were late to practice. He showed up to every practice, was just late, and Bill said, you're not playing the rest of the year. You're on the IR. I mean, that's what this Bill Belichick guy does.
This is just nonsense.
So, he doesn't care what the cost is there. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about the next tight end, Jimmy Graham. A lot of people were asking about him. He could get possibly slapped with the wide receiver tag. It's not really, like, set in stone that's what's going to happen. But if he gets tagged with the wide receiver tag, which is the money that he wants, if he's going to get franchise tagged, I mean... He's going to be a wide receiver in fantasy.
Personally, this year, I think he's going to get franchise tagged. Yes. I don't think he's going to get a long-term deal this year. Just because with the Saints, they don't have a lot of cap room. As of right now, they don't have a lot of spending room. So franchise tag Jimmy Graham, just kind of convince him and persuade him and just let him know that they're going to get him a long-term deal no matter what. I mean, Jimmy Graham is the second best player on that team right behind Drew Brees. And without Jimmy Graham, that team... is not going to make the playoffs in my mind. I see the Falcons being better than them. I see the Panthers being better than them. They need Jimmy Graham, and they're going to do anything to keep him on that team. Maybe it's not exactly wide receiver money, but maybe they can meet somewhere in the middle between tight end money and wide receiver money. But, I mean, I don't think there's any way they let that guy go.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tag him as a... Well, you see, that's the thing. If you tag him, there's only two options. You can tag him as a tight end, which is about... $4.5 to $5 million a year. Or you can tag him as a wide receiver, which is $10 million a year. You can't tag him halfway in between them. Mm-hmm. So what they're going to have to do is, if you tag him for the $4 million a year, Jimmy Graham's not going to be happy. Will he hold out? I don't know. I don't personally know Jimmy Graham. I don't know if that's his personality. But, I mean, would you hold out if somebody cut you short $6 million?
No, I wouldn't, because I would already be getting $4 million and just be happy with that and go home and flip on my TV.
Yeah, I mean, football is just so short. It's such a short, like, boom, you could tear your ACL like that. You're a couple years away. And, I mean, you want your money when you can get it. And I understand where Jimmy Graham's coming from. He doesn't want to get tagged. But if he gets tagged as a wide receiver, he will have the wide receiver tag in fantasy next year, which will strip him away from the tight ends, which doesn't make him as valuable.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he should be worrying a lot less about that and worrying a lot more about performing in the playoffs for that team. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be very interesting. I see him still being a tight end next year because, I mean, that's where he lines up at.
No, he doesn't. Actually, he lines up
majority. He lines up everywhere, but, I mean, he's still a tight end, and that's what he is on that team. So
yeah, majority of his lineups are actually from the slot position.
He can't be a wide receiver because I'm keeping him.
Yeah, I got him in the league too, so that's just the way it's gonna go. Maybe you just want to go over like quick early, like I don't know, our early fantasy MVPs and stuff like that.
We can just kind of go over that a little bit.
All right, fantasy MVP, who is it next year?
All right, I'm just going to say this right now.
We haven't really done research on this.
Don't get on me if this is just the most weirdest thing you've ever heard. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say Doug Martin is the fantasy MVP next year.
Wow, that's and comeback player of the year. I'm going LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, and I think I have the better guess than you. I'm just kidding. But I just like Doug Martin. I like him a lot this year. I can't give you guys a reason why. You bring in Lovie Smith. I just like the new head coach. I never liked Greg Schiano for some reason, but I feel they get him the ball running, receiving any way possible, and I think he leads that team to a playoff berth, whether it's a wild card spot. Winning that division is going to be very difficult with the Saints and the Falcons, who are going to have a re-emerging year, along with a very much improved Panthers. It's just going to be very tough, but I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say Doug Martin. I mean, I trust him more than some other guys, but it's just kind of I want to be that guy to say that.
Okay, who's the number one quarterback next year?
The number one quarterback of this is easy, for me at least. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, yep, I agree. He's my number one just because I like his weapons a lot more than anybody
And he has a chip on his shoulder, and I feel like he's just going to come out and just torch everyone.
Number one running back, I mean, I got LeSean McCoy. You got Doug Martin, right?
Yeah, That's what I'm saying. I mean, we're saying Doug Martin.
That's what you're saying.
That's just kind of
You're saying he's going to finish as the number one?
We'll go Doug Martin.
Okay.
Right there, number one.
You said he's
then finishing. Then LeSean McCoy.
All right.
Then Jamal Charles.
That's not the order you maybe draft him, but he's saying that you take him, that he is going to finish as the number one running back next
season. Doug Martin, baby.
Okay, wide receiver. Who finishes as the number one wide receiver?
Number one wide receiver next year. This is going to be, I mean, you got to go with Colin Johnson. I mean, it's kind of
even hard with that report that they're going to run the ball more?
You run the ball more, but they're still only throwing to one guy. And, I mean, do you trust Josh Gordon? I mean, not really as much as I don't trust him as much as what we saw this year. I mean, A.J. Green, he is so – I just don't like his quarterback at all. I mean, Demaryius Thomas maybe without Eric Decker, maybe Peyton Manning looks a lot more towards Demaryius Thomas'
side. Here's my shot in the dark. Well, it's not really a shot in the dark.
If you say Justin Hunter, I'm going to smack you in the face.
No, it's Dez Bryant. Scott Linehan loves throwing the ball down the field. Loves it. And, I mean, what do we see with Dez? We see these short routes. No, they're not going to run those anymore with Linehan. They're going to try to move the ball down the field. Calvin Johnson-like, maybe. So we might be seeing a better Dez Bryant this year around.
I'm just going to take the higher percentage guess and go with Calvin Johnson.
All right. Best tight end.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham. As long as he is a tight end.
Yeah.
If he's not a tight end.
That position.
Maybe. I mean, I still like Gronk a lot more than other people do just because when he's healthy, he's the best, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, obviously, but it just kind of depends when he recovers from all his injuries. If not him, then Vernon Davis?
Yeah, if he's not healthy... No, I mean, sorry. If he's not the tight end, do we consider getting rid of the tight end position altogether in fantasy football?
I mean, it kind of feels like it, because then there's just, like... Jimmy Graham is what fantasy tight ends mean, like, what it matters. And that would just... Because, I mean, tight ends fall off so fast. I mean, Jimmy Graham's just such a nice player to have in that position. Are we going to say who our top defense is for next year?
Yeah, that's cool. We can do that.
I mean, you can say who your top defense is going to be this year. I'm going to say Seattle. I mean, I think that defense is
they don't better. Repeat. Defenses don't repeat, though.
Yeah, but I feel like Legion of Boom is going to.
Yeah.
That defense is pretty rock solid. I mean, what defense do you see reemerging from this past season and having a much better season in 2014?
I mean, I can't tell you that right now. Much better season, I mean, Houston. Houston could have a better season if they go Clowney.
I know you've talked about liking the Buccaneers defense.
Oh, I love the Buccaneers.
With Lovie Smith going there.
There's a possibility, too, that Charles Tillman actually ends up on the Buccaneers. It's pretty nice. Lovie Smith said it would be interesting.
Him and Revis?
I mean, you tell me about that. You tell me about that secondary.
That'd be pretty tough. and then kicker, I mean, it's going to be Matt Prater. I mean, kicker position doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. You'll find a kicker. Last year,
Steven Hauschka.
Yeah, I mean, every year it seems like Steven Hauschka is like 13th in fantasy rankings. He's always finished like top five. So that's exactly where we are. Maybe we should do the kind of some free agent stuff.
That's fine.
The quarterbacks. Like Michael Vick, let's just start with him. What's going
to
happen with
him? I've heard reports that he can go to possibly the Buccaneers, possibly the Raiders, and I've also heard some stuff in there about possibly the Bengals to back up Andy Dalton or maybe even get that starting job. I personally don't want to see him go to the Buccaneers because I like Mike Glennon. If he goes anywhere, just put him on the freaking Raiders and let him suck because the Raiders are just not a good football team, guys. I'm a football fan, and this Raiders are never good, so I'm sorry. I mean, do you see him possibly going to the Bengals and backing up Andy Dalton?
I don't. I possibly could see him as a week one starter, and it might shock people, but I think actually a good fit would be Jacksonville.
Well, Jacksonville. I mean, that team's obviously looking for a quarterback.
I don't know. It's just like when I hear Michael Vick, I think Jacksonville. I don't know why I think that. I just do.
It's a very weird comparison.
I know, considering he has nothing to do with Jacksonville. Yeah. It's just kind of what the ring I have going right now. It's a feeling inside of me. All right. And then the second, who's the second quarterback in the free agency? Josh McCown. Looks like he's going to stay a Bear.
Oh, yeah. I think that's his smartest position because, I mean, that guy is a backup quarterback. He owns the role. He knows he's a backup quarterback. And, I mean, with Jay Cutler, as a Bears fan, I'm happy about him still being the Bears' backup because I know when Jay Cutler goes down, because he usually does, we'll have Josh McCown there. I really don't see him going to another team.
I agree with that. I mean, Trestman did a heck of a job with him. The weapons are there. Why would Josh leave? I mean, there's no reason for him to leave and try to go be a starter somewhere else, move his family for a year and just struggle. He won't like that.
So. And, I mean, when you go to the running backs, you have a list of running backs that could be very interesting. You have Sean Moreno.
Mm-hmm. You have Miami. Tate. I'm ringing with Miami.
Sean Moreno and Miami. I can see that.
Yeah.
Ben Tate, Cleveland.
Cleveland is, that's where I'm leaning with that one right now, yes.
Wide receiver wise, Eric Decker's, I mean, you have Eric Decker, you have Jeremy Maclin. Those are, I mean, you have Kenny Britt, who, if he
Keem Nicks.
Keem Nicks, I mean, any of those guys. Eric Decker's definitely the best out of all of them. You said you see Eric Decker going to the Jets?
No. I said that they're going to offer him big money.
They're going to offer him money. Where do you see Eric Decker going?
I mean, I think, I want to say the best fit is New England, but I don't think the Patriots are going
to
offer him one.
That is where I want him to go. I want him to go to New England. I can see him possibly going to Washington and helping out Pierre Garçon a lot.
What about Carolina?
Carolina, he could definitely go there. I mean,
something just tells me he ends up there.
See, I agree. I mean, Steve Smith is the number one receiver there. I mean, the Brandon LaFell train's done. He's nothing special.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Steve Smith has health issues. He's getting older. He's really just that big play guy who brings a lot of energy to the field.
Maclin, I'll break it. He's going to return to the Eagles. This offense is exciting. Everybody wants to
I think he's going to go to the Eagles because he sat on the sideline all last year and just watched this offense. He's just like, good Lord, I can't wait to be on this offense next year. And I actually like Jeremy Maclin a lot going into the next season as long as he can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Hakeem Nicks. I don't know what to tell you. A lot of people want my Colts to make a push for him. I do not. If we bring on Hakeem Nicks, I will throw a fit. Because then we have Reggie Wayne, 34. T.Y. Hilton would be the third string, and we would start Hakeem Nicks. I don't know if the Colts have learned their lesson yet with having T.Y. Hilton as a third string receiver. T.Y. Hilton can be a number one receiver if you use him. When you set him on the bench, he cannot help you win games. And we thought Darius Hayward-Bey was better than him. Please do not think that Hakeem Nicks is better than him. We are fine with T.Y. Hilton.
No, I mean, maybe he goes to a team like the Raiders, who definitely could use some help on the wide receiver. Another team I'm thinking about right now is maybe the Cowboys. I mean, you have Miles Austin, who's gone, leaving you with Terrence Williams and Dez Bryant.
The problem with the Cowboys is their cap is a mess. Yeah. They're $25 million over the cap right now.
Maybe the Bengals. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of teams that Hakeem Nicks could go to. It's just kind of what coach is going to bring him in. And this guy hasn't caught a touchdown in well over a year.
And Kenny Britt, I could see going to the Patriots. That's a guy I could see going to the Patriots just because he's not going to make money. He's like the fifth best receiver in the
division. And Tom Brady could make Kenny Britt a very, very fantasy relevant wide receiver next year.
But they're going to make emphasis that their first option is re-signing Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Because Julian Edelman is a free agent. I forgot. I heard that he was going to go somewhere. Oh, there's talks about him possibly going to Houston to join forces with Bill O'Brien because he really likes him. But I don't know. I think
Julian Edelman stays as a Patriot. He's been a Patriot his entire career. Mm-hmm. I mean, Belichick loves him, so does Brady. I mean, any tight end free agency. I mean, nothing really. I mean, Owen Daniels is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I can really think about there.
No, I had a running back thought, but I forgot it.
Did you? I mean, you have Rashard Mendenhall, who's going to be a free agent in Arizona, but some people believe he's going to return. You have Toby Gerhardt, who doesn't want to back up Adrian Peterson anymore. I mean, you have Chris Johnson, who could potentially be signed somewhere.
Here it is. Donald Brown. There's talks that Donald Brown, he's familiar with somebody. It's Peyton Manning. He might end up in Denver. And that would cut into, he's Monte cheap. It would cut into Monte Ball's touches.
And I mean, if they lose Miranda, they definitely should bring in another running back because...
Mm-hmm. Veteran, too. I mean, Donald Brown can do everything that Monte Ball can do. He can pass block. He can do it all, so...
That would not be a bad signing. I mean, the Colts have a lot of running backs anyways, as it is. So, I mean, one's probably going to exit.
Well, yeah, Donald Brown said he thanked Indy for their good run. He can't come back. Vic Ballard, Maud Bradshaw, Carson... And there's just not room. Not room for you, Donald. Go somewhere else, play well for them. And that's all we got for you guys today, I think.
Absolutely. And we love doing this podcast today. I mean, we had a lot to talk about, obviously. We're just probably going to give it some more time, let some things rile up in the NFL, and we'll get a podcast out to you guys whenever. And, I mean, next, we'll always let you guys know. Just keep subscribing. Keep telling people about us. We love doing these. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. And, I mean, that's all I have for you guys. So, have a great day.